I agree, but who will play the drum? You? Okay. Thanks. Doesn't keep his eyes open. I can't see what I want. Krishna to thank for the Maha Mantra. Yes? Om Supad Paramahansa Paribhudaka Sarajostataya Sita Sisi Manas Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Is Confounded Sarajostataya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prem Sikosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadoita Giradha Sivasari Goa Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai Sisi Radhakrishna Gopinath Samakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Sri Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mayi Ki Jai Jamuna Mayi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakti Vindi Ki Jai All glorious here, some of devotees. All glorious here, some of devotees. All glorious here, some of devotees. All glorious to see Sri Guru and Guranga Nitai Gaur Pimandi Haribo. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vinamta Swamini Tanamane. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharane, Nivasesha Sunyavadi Prasatide Sitar. Which verse is up? 42. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aksham dasapranam madam dharma.
Aksham dasapranam madam dharma.
Chakre abhimanam ratinam cha jivam.
Chakre abhimanam ratinam cha jivam.
Tanohitasya pranavam patanti. Sharam tu jivam parameva laksham. Okay, who will read it first?
Aksham dasa pranam dharma dharma.
Aksham dasa pranam
dharma dharma.
Chakre dhimanam ratinam cha jivam.
Any Mataji's left to chant.
Chakre
anyone else? Aksham, the spokes on the chariot wheel. Dasa, 10. Pranam, 10 kinds of air flowing within the body. Adharma, irreligion. Dharmao, religion. The two sides of the wheel, up and down. Chakre, in the wheel. Abhimanam, false identification. Ratinam, the charioteer, or the master of the body. Cha, also. Jivam, the living entity. Danu, the bow, he, indeed, tasya, his, pranavan, the Vedic mantra Omkar, patanti, it is said, saram, an arrow, two, but, jivam, the living entity, param, the Supreme Lord, Eva, indeed, Laksham, the target. Here's Srila Prabhupada's translation. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantras, the Vedic mantra Pranav, Pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. Please repeat. The 10 kinds of air.
The 10 kinds of air.
Oh, yes. Someone repeated, oh, yes. Very good. So obedient and disciplined. Here's the warning that I'm going to ask you after I read the verse one more time. I'm going to ask you what you remember. And then we shall proceed with questions after that. Are you going to give class now, little one? So the 10 kinds of air acting within the body. Please repeat. Are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels. And the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra Pranav is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the Supreme Being. Now I'm going to read it one more time, and I'm going to ask you if you remember anything, and you can't look at your phones or whatever, or the board, and then I'm going to ask you what this verse is in relationship to the previous verses. What's the points that are, what is the point being made? You ready for all these difficult questions? Hare Krishna. So I'm going to read it again. The 10 kinds of air acting within the body are compared to the spokes of the chariot's wheels, and the top and bottom of the wheel itself are called religion and irreligion. The living entity in the bodily concept of life is the owner of the chariot. The Vedic mantra pranava is the bow. The pure living entity himself is the arrow, and the target is the supreme being. Okay, without looking, who remembers something from this verse? I know you do. Raise your hand, please. Yes. Excuse me?
There's a wheel.
There's a wheel. Do you remember anything about the wheel?
10 spokes.
And what, anyone remember what the 10 spokes represent? You have to raise your hand, though, otherwise we'll have complete chaos. Raise your hand and I'll call on you. Go ahead, Ayagriva. Okay, yes. What are the 10 spokes? And what does that mean, the 10 airs that are in the body? What's the function of the airs within the body? Do you know? Do you know the function of the 10 airs within the body? Does anyone know the function of the 10 airs within the body? Yes. The machine, yeah, it moves, and they move the machine. Each of the 10 airs have a different function, and they move the body. Because it's interesting, all I have to do is think, hand, right hand, go up in the air. Now, how does that work? What's the connection between my thought and the ability to move my hand? So this is actually quite miraculous. How does the subtle, the thought, the desire, affect the gross? So this is done by the amazing connection of Maya, basically. It's the material energy, the inconceivable material energy of the Lord that allows this to happen. And the mechanism for doing this is the different airs of the body. The bodies, they move, they make the heart work, they make the digestion work, they make the machine of the body function properly. Thank you. Does anyone remember anything else? But you have to raise your hand. Yes, Mr. Dasa Krishna. Yes, they are religion and irreligion. So depending upon the direction that the chariot of the body is moving, it's either moving in an adharma way, an irreligious way, or it could be moving in a dharmic way, and that's represented by the upper and lower parts of the wheel. Thank you. One more. Yes, and then. Is the bow. Now that brings up a very interesting topic that Srila Prabhupada is going to discuss in his purport. Because that's the bow. Anyone remember what the arrow is? Raise your hand. Yeah? Yes. And anyone remember what or who the target is? Now isn't that interesting? That bow is the living entity and he's shooting himself at Krishna, at the Supreme Lord. Very interesting. So this is a topic that Srila Prabhupada brings up in his purport. Because generally, when we shoot an arrow at someone, that one who we're shooting an arrow at isn't the most beloved of our life. It's an enemy. So something very mysterious is going to be brought up by Srila Prabhupada, quoting Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Now, does anyone remember the context that this verse is spoken in. It's in the 15th or final chapter of the 7th canto. What was the 7th canto mostly about? But you have to raise your hand. What was the 7th canto mostly about? Because we're coming to the end of the 7th canto. What was it mostly about? What was the prime topic? Excuse me? Okay, but what was the topic? No, of the 7th canto, what was mostly spoken about? Pralad. Interesting. Yes, Mataji. Yes, that's this chapter. But the most of the canto was about Pralad Maharaj. Now, the great hero of the canto, in one sense, is not Pralad Maharaj. In one sense, it's Lord Nisringadev, the incarnation of the Lord. Now, Krishna has unlimited qualities, and each of those unlimited qualities are unlimited. So he's unlimitedly beautiful, and he's unlimitedly intelligent. Now, we almost can't conceive of what unlimited intelligence is like, unlimited beauty. But he's also, when he becomes angry, he becomes unlimitedly angry. Now, even when I become angry, I don't have the capacity to become unlimitedly angry because I'm just little. But Krishna becomes unlimitedly angry. Can you imagine how angry unlimited anger is? He was so angry that in the 9th and 10th chapter of this canto, everyone, even the devatas, even Lord Brahma, couldn't pacify him, and everyone was somewhat afraid of him because he was unlimitedly angry. But yet, the star, the great wonder of the canto is Prahlad Maharaj. Because Prahlad Maharaj is the first example given, practically speaking, and Prahlad himself says this, in the whole Bhagavatam, practically speaking, of a devotee whose example everyone can and should follow, his complete dependence on Krishna. He says this himself. Now, who knows why? Who is speaking this the 7th canto? Who is speaking it? Do you know? Yes. Now, why did the topic of Prahlad Maharaj and the Sringadev and the killing of Hiranyakashipu, why did that come up? Does anyone remember that? It's in the first chapter. Yes.
And then Yudhishthira Maharaj asked the Narada Muni why there was an enmity between Hiranyakashipu.
Yes.
And
so the whole second chapter, third chapter, fourth, fifth, seventh, eighth, sixth, wait, missed one, five, six, seven, eight, nine, and ten are all in answer to that question about is the Supreme Lord partial or impartial? Was he favoring the devatas over the demons? Now, here's a question that's a little difficult. Why? Because in chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, what's the discussion? You have to raise your hand, though, or else in the corner. Not really, but what was the discussion in those chapters? Varnashrama. Now why, how did we go from Prahlad offering these amazing prayers and the killing of the demon Hiranyakashipu and the glorious appearance of the unlimitedly angry Lord Nisringadev, how did we go from that to a discussion of Van Ashrama. Does anyone know the connection? Yes.
Practical implementation of bhakti within the society, so it's the platform.
Yes. Just but stated in the way one of our acharyas states that Yudhisthira Maharaj, seeing this incredible devotion of Prahlad that was so deep that it attracted, just by him being in such difficulty, it attracted Lord Nrisimhadev to appear, to protect him personally. One devotee in difficulty attracted one incarnation of the Lord to come, to descend. So much devotion he had. And he was so angry. Nrisimhadev was so angry that his devotee was being threatened. His life was being threatened. He became unlimitedly angry. So that shows us how much the Lord will protect his innocent devotees who are completely dependent on him. And that Prahlad, he was so innocent and simple and so dependent on Krishna, even in the most difficult of circumstances, something that all of us need to meditate upon and what question, after hearing about Prahlad, what question naturally comes to your mind after hearing about this, the devotion of this boy? What question naturally comes to your mind? How do we achieve it? And Yudhisthira basically asked Narada Muni, how do we achieve this kind of devotion? And Narada Muni's answer is in these chapters through Vanashrama, that every person in society has a function to perform. Now, we could go into a class on the importance of Vanashrama, but then I won't even be able to begin reading this very wonderful purport. So I'll avoid that, even though I'm strongly tempted to describe it. But yes, Vanashrama is meant for Krishna's pleasure, yatra pravritti bhutanam, that every person, regardless of what their particular function in society is, can take that function, their duty, and make that as an offering for Krishna's pleasure and therefore advance in spiritual life. Because that is devotion, basically. It's bhakti. So that was the explanation that we have heard up to now. Now what, just going up to the, about Vanashrama, and what is this particular metaphor about the living entity being the passenger in the chariot of his body? Now, what is the relevance of that to Vanashrama? Oh, yes, I should have said this before. Please either turn off your phones or put your cow ringtone on. And then we'll just hear mooing in the background and we'll all feel happy. One of the two. So what does this have to do, this verse have to do with, how is it connected to Vanashrama? Do you know? Do you know? First of all, I want to know if you know. Okay. Then better not answer. Yes.
Maharaj, the human body, the purpose of the human body.
Yes. That's exactly what's going on. What's your name, Prabhu? Hanuman Das. You've lifted a very heavy question very easily. That life has a purpose. And the target of our life, meaning the goal of our life, is, according to the verse, the target is? Well, you said it like you were asking me the question, but I was just... asking you the question. Okay, let's change that a different way since you asked it answered like that. I'm not going to ask you to answer this, but what is actually the target of your life personally? Everyone take a moment and think. What is actually the goal of your life? Some people have the goal of their life to be playing all the time, which is perfected when it's playing with Krishna. But what really is the goal of your life? Sometimes we ask these questions, what do you want in life? And everyone will say, Krishna Prem or something. And then the next question is, well, what do you really want? What do you really want? So answer that question to yourself. What do you really want in your life? How come you came late? We've been waiting for you. But you forgot to offer your respects to Prabhupada. You have to walk back. Okay, now, since it's clear that the target of the verse is the proper use of our human lives, now we'll understand what Prabhupada will be speaking in his purport. Now, I probably won't read the whole thing all the way through, but I may stop somewhere and ask, what do you remember? Or what did you hear? Or what inspired you? So I say this because I'm hoping that you will all listen very carefully to Prabhupada's words, because they are meant for us to teach us. You ready? 10 kinds of life air always flow within the material body. Oh, okay, make this question easy. What do you remember? Raise your hand, though. Yes. In the material body. Very good. They are called prana, apana, samana, vyana, udana, naga, korma, krikala, Devadatta and Dhananjaya. They are compared here to the spokes of the chariot's wheel. They move the chariot. This is the mechanical way that the chariot is actually moved. The life air is the energy for all of a living being's activities, which are sometimes religious and sometimes irreligious. Clear, yes? Thus, religion and irreligion are said to be the upper and lower portions of the chariot's wheels. When the living entity decides to go back home, back to Godhead, his target is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is actually a decision born out of our free will, that a living entity is supposed to make in his life. What do I decide? What do I want out of my life? And the decision to go back to Godhead means that the target of our life, the purpose of our life, is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. So this is when the living entity is covered. His consciousness is very compressed. Really, the soul has a blissful, eternal consciousness, but compressed, made small by the conditionings, by the modes of material nature, by his karma, he cannot see what the goal of his life is. If you ask 10, 20, 30 people in the street, if you just stop him, a person, male, female, or other, as nowadays you're allowed to be, which is very confusing for me, but what will they say? When you ask a person, just an ordinary person, What is the goal of your life? What is the usual type of answer? If you've asked people that question, you've told me, yes? The usual answer is what? The people that you've asked.
Enjoy life.
Huh?
Enjoy life.
What's,
happy, do good. Yeah.
All of those or some of them? Or
enjoy.
Yes. Do you?
They want to be happy.
They want to be happy. Yeah. What do you think people want? Yes.
Healthy, happy, peaceful life.
Yeah. Anyone else have any? But you have to raise your hand. Yeah. Yeah, they want to enjoy. Because they, you have to raise, oh yeah. You have to raise your hand and wait till I call on you before. My instruction wasn't complete. It was my fault, excuse me. Yes, boom.
Like experience.
They want experiences. But what, miserable experiences?
Different experiences.
Because why do they want different, people want different experiences? Why, do you think? Why do you want different experiences? But you have to answer honestly. Why do you want different experiences?
Explore.
But why do we want to explore? Yes. Yes, but why do we have the desire in our mind, and what is the knowledge? Yes.
Pretty colorless experience of life if you don't have different experiences.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah. I was thinking. Anyway, unless someone, okay, I'll try to. Who's good at mind reading? Okay, you're good at mind reading. Wait till I think of it really clearly. Yes. Good answer, but wrong mind reading. Okay, I'll just tell you what I was thinking. It's because no one is satisfied with the experiences that they have. If you have, like, there's the Chinese sage Confucius, someone asked him, if you were advising a ruler, what would be the result in his kingdom? And his answer was that people would be living so close to a village, in one village, so close to another village, that they could hear the dogs barking in that other village, but they never would have visited that village. Now, his point was, people would be so satisfied that they wouldn't have any need or desire or reason to go exploring or go anywhere else because of the satisfaction that they were feeling. So it's actually dissatisfaction, or Prabhupada would sometimes call it restlessness. To always be changing this and be going there and being zoom, go here and then go there. This restlessness comes from which mode of nature? I'll give you a hint. It's not goodness or ignorance. Yes. Yes, very good. So in the conditioned state of life, one does not understand that the goal of life is the Supreme Lord. Nate vidur swatakatim hi vishnum durasya yehi bahir artamanina. Who said this verse, by the way? Anyone know? Does anyone know? Do you know? Prahlad Maharaj said this to his father. So the living entity tries to be happy within the material world, not understanding the target of his life. So everyone basically wants to be happy. When he is purified, however, he gives up his bodily conception of life and his false identity as belonging to a certain community, a certain nation, a certain society, a certain family, and so on. Sarvapadivaniyamuktam tatpadadvainaniyamalam. Then he takes the arrow of his purified life. Again, the living entity is the arrow. And with the help of the bow, which is the transcendental chanting of pranava, omkar,
by the energy of that mantra, which is Radha Krishna and the Jiva Omkara, by that power, he throws all the Hare Krishna Maha mantra, he throws himself towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's what devotees on one level or another are doing. They are throwing themselves at the feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our goal. And what does that mean? It means throwing ourselves and begging the Lord to allow us to serve him. His service is the target, prema pramato mahan, with great love and devotion. The target of a devotee's life is serving the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Okay. What do you remember from that? But you have to raise your hand. From that was the first paragraph of Prabhupada's powerful purport. What do you remember? Raise your hand, please. Yes. Everybody. Yes.
Depending on because the body is moving, so depending on that, it has come to either religion, perform religion or take religion.
Yes.
And the conditioned life, that person, have a body identification, does not understand that the ultimate target of that human being should be Mahavishnu.
Yes. And like people act in this world. They do this, they do that, but they don't have a goal. And it's sort of like getting in your car and driving, and someone says, should I go left or should I go right? Or should I go straight? What would the natural answer be? Well, it depends where you want to go, what your goal is. So people are going left and right and up and down and buying and selling and doing this activity and trying to be happy with that, but not having any understanding of what the goal of life is. So therefore, when people become old and people do become old, this I can tell you from experience, being one of those people, then you look back and life passes like that in a sense. What happened? I remember when I was 16, I remember when I was 8, this happened good, this happened bad, this, that. So many things happened suddenly. Here I am. And what has it all been about? I've gotten this happiness, I've achieved this, I've been sad when this happened to me, and this was good and this was bad, and I got hurt and I got pleasure and I achieved this, I got an award for this. But what was it all about? Here I am. And at one point, everyone was cheering for me and saying, wonderful, you did great. And now here I am alone and no one cares. And what was all of that about? I went left, I went right, I went up, I went down, I achieved, I fought, I struggled, I played, I enjoyed, I slept, I slipped, I slept, I slipped, I fell. But what was it all about? I didn't have any goal. So here, Srila Narada Muni is telling Yudhisthira Maharaj, and Srila Prabhupada is telling us that life has a goal. And depending upon how clear our consciousness is, and I chose that word clear very carefully, how clear our consciousness is, we will go straight to that goal and not make any other turns left or right, up, down, just like that. Or we will go, maybe make devotees will go, I need this, but I want that, even though it's, oh, but let me, I'm taking a little bit of a detour to the goal. But depending upon how clear our consciousness is, our focus will be solely upon the lotus feet of the service of Krishna and Krishna's dear ones. And we should, time to time, examine our consciousness and see how focused we are on the service of Krishna. Sometimes we have to be a little unbusy because we're always so busy and distracted in one sense from, and the whole world is meant to basically offer distractions to us. Especially in Kali Yuga, one distraction after the next. One distraction after the next. So we don't have a time to examine ourselves. This is Maya working. To examine our life and see what our real goal is and what we really want out of life and is what we are, is the way that we're acting in concordance, in harmony with our deepest desire. It's something to think about. But the Prabhupada's purport isn't over yet. There's one more paragraph. Ready? When I say ready, what do I mean?
Focus.
But you're correct, but the methodology was imperfect. What does it mean when I say you're ready? Oh, you already said the answer. Yeah, you're ready to listen. Because Prabhupada is speaking to us words that are meant for us. And he actually, I once heard a lecture about, of all things, Socrates. And it was talking about the, one of the things this lecture was speaking about was the difference between the way that people in olden times thought and the people, difference, and the way that people in modern times think. And what the person said, this professor said, he said, in olden times, Haribol. No, it's okay, it's okay. Who are you coming to see? No, you should come and see them. You can sit where you like, but you should at least say. What's your name?
Dharma.
Dharma. Very good. We were just talking about you. Now, one thing is that I'm going to ask you if you remember anything that I'm just going to read now in this paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. You ready?
Huh? I came right now.
I know, but I won't ask you what I read before, but I'm going to read this last paragraph. Okay? You ready? Okay. You're going to be the first person I ask. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented that because the word bow and arrow are used in this verse, one might argue that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity have become enemies. However, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead may become the so-called enemy of the living being, this is his chivalrous pleasure. For example, the Lord fought with Bhishma, and when Bhishma pierced the Lord's body on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, this was a kind of humor or relationship of which there are 12. When the conditioned soul tries to reach the Lord by hurling an arrow at him, the Lord takes pleasure, and the living entity gains the profit of going back home, back to Godhead. Another example given in this regard is that Arjuna, as the result of piercing the adharamina, or the fist within the chakra, achieve the valuable gain of Draupadi. Similarly, if with the arrow of chanting the holy name of the Lord, one pierces Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, by dint of performing this heroic activity of devotional service, one receives the benefit of returning back home, back to Godhead. Now, it's a very tricky paragraph to walk into from just... Do you remember anything? Yeah, what name? Just say something, so we give you a good grade.
The fight of Bhishma.
Did you know about that fight?
Yeah, not really.
Okay, and what was the other example?
That was like Arjuna with his bow and arrow.
Yeah, what did he do?
I couldn't get too much from that, but I was just trying to.
Yeah, well, you did very well.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anyone remember anything else? Yes.
Like in the purport is here, like the living entity is the arrow and the supreme being the target. So it looks like it's enemy, but living entity is forgetting his position and that's why it's acting in such a way.
Yeah, but that wasn't what Prabhupada actually was saying. But yes, it's true. So Krishna is so kind that if you want to become an enemy of him, and actually Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives two examples of this. One is the jnanis who want to become one with the Lord. And Krishna is so kind that he sees the little bit of bhakti in that desire and he gives them what they want, that Sayujya Mukti. And the other example is the actual enemies of the Lord, who Krishna so kindly, when he kills them, gives them liberation. But these type of activities, becoming inimical to the Lord, aren't the way a devotee thinks. Rather, as using the Maha Mantra as the force of our activities, directed towards the Lord's pleasure. We want to serve his lotus feet, not exactly pierce his lotus feet, but serve his lotus feet, because his lotus feet are very soft and tender. Okay. Does anyone have any... Thank you very much for your careful attention. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yes.
Just hearing this... What I got from it,
which
from the analogy of Bhishma and Arjuna's arrows, and I'd like to hear your if I'm getting it right, that in both cases those arrows were being shot with love. Bhishma...
That's the Bhishma example.
Bhishma was shooting, but he was shooting with the spirit of giving Krishna what Krishna was desiring. He understood that Krishna wanted this. That's what I was getting from it, that Krishna wanted this exchange. And therefore he served Krishna by... And Krishna felt those arrows as flowers being sent to. And then in the case of Arjuna, he was using his arrow to express his love of Krishna for the service of winning the hand of Draupadi, which is his service. So that was what I got from it. I wondered if that was...
Yes,
correct.
Well, that's accurate. That, but yet the point is that Krishna's pleasure is the target. In both cases, you expressed both very nicely, wonderfully. With Bhishma Dev, I mean, it's hard for people like me to understand, but when you have a warrior, a person who's really has a Kshatriya spirit, they love to fight. They love to and have a good battle, like someone who is an expert football player or cricket player. They love the challenge to be in there and fight it out with a powerful person and show their skill. So Bhishma Dev had promised Duryodhana that I'm going to fight so hard, because we would say that Duryodhana cranked him up a bit, Bhishma Dev up, so that he was saying, you're being so soft on the Pandavas. So, and Bhishma Dev said, no, I'm going to fight so hard that, and I'm going to kill Arjuna, and Krishna himself is going to have to break his promise if he wants Arjuna to survive. And he did do that. And when in that fight, Krishna, as you said, was experiencing the arrows, the shivers, because this is virya ras, the ras of shivery. And Krishna has that spirit too, and Bhishma Dev, being a warrior, had that spirit. So it was too great. So yeah, they were. So Bhishma Dev was offering his flower-like arrows at Krishna, and they were actually piercing Krishna's body, which can't be pierced. And this is what Bhishma Dev, at the time of his death, wanted to remember. This was his relationship with Krishna, his most intimate relationship with Krishna, and he wanted to think about that at the moment he was leaving this world. And Krishna had appeared right before him just to satisfy that. So much love between them. That was one of the main reasons why Krishna appeared before Bhishma Dev at the time of his death, because he wanted to be present before him as he left this world. Yes, thank you. Yes. Now that is Vaishnava etiquette. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned about the question that for all of us to think about what's the goal of our life. And so although we understand the ultimate goal of our life is to develop loving devotional service for Krishna, we also have so many intermittent goals, and the journey doesn't look quite like the arrow, like, you know, it's not very straightforward. There's the ultimate goal, but then there's also like these temporary goals that keep popping up in our minds.
Like, give me an example so it's clear to me what you're thinking.
Just some material goals for, you know, recognition, for
Lava Puja Pratishtadi, yeah. Jata Upasakagan.
Yeah.
You mean those weeds?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you want the plant to grow well, what should you do with the weeds?
To uproot them.
Yeah. So what do you do when you find that, yes, the best part of me, the real me, wants to go right to Krishna, but then these other parts, due to previous conditioning, keep coming up? How to deal with that?
Is it a question for me? Or?
Yeah. Either that or Dharma, I'll ask. But better you would. Krishna's so kind, the battery ran out. Let me take the pressure off. How does one deal with that when one finds that the best part of him isn't the only part, but other desires, and certainly I'm not pointing at you about this, but other desires, other thoughts, other impulses, other compulsions force us from going directly to Krishna? How do we deal with that? Excuse me, how do I deal with that? Anyone have any good advice for me? Thank you.
Chant sincerely.
Chant Krishna. What does that mean, to chant sincerely? How would you define sincere? Yeah, that's very nice. chant offensively. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the result of chanting offensively is humility. That is actually, to actually be humble, that is the result of chanting offensively. And then when one's humble, one can take shelter of the holy names properly. Krishna, if I need your mercy, without your mercy, what can I do? It's a prayer, it's a begging. But then the question is, how do I chant sincerely when I don't feel very sincere at all? Because sincere means I just want to please Krishna. But my problem is that I have other desires as well. Yes, Mataji. Yes, I serve the devotees. Yes? Very nice. Yes? Someone over here raised their hand. I thought. Keep chanting, keep in the process. Notice that you're not the center of the universe, that you're trying to do something that's beyond your capacity, and that you need mercy. How to get mercy? Be kind to others. Serve the devotees. Serve everyone. Cure the master disease. Thinking I'm the center. Use whatever situation we're in somehow or another in Krishna's service. Any other thoughts to add to what I just said and what the other devotee said? Yes?
There's a verse in the 11th canto which says that one should feel disgust. Not being able to give up those desires, one should feel disgust.
Important verse. One should feel, and then?
But people to serve Krishna happily.
And humbly. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else have good advice in this regard? Or any advice? Yes?
Be honest about it and if required, expose your needs to someone who can actually help.
Yeah. Speak to devotees, more trusted devotees who are more advanced in the path than ourselves. What do you do if you can't find anyone either trusted, that you trust, or more advanced than you? That's a weed. That's the biggest weed. That's like what Krishna, what Dronacharya sent Arjuna out to find. No, Yudhisthira out to find someone worse than him. And he sent Duryodhana out to find someone better than him. And Yudhisthira couldn't find anyone worse than him, and Duryodhana couldn't find anyone better than him. Thank you. Anyone else have any good advice? Yes? Yeah, that's if you can have full faith and surrender. What does that mean to you? Do you have school? Excuse me. Do you have school today? Are you going to school now? What class are you in? Yeah. And what do you know what they will teach you today? Oh, so what an adventure and surprise you're in for. Hare Krishna. And what's your name? I forgot. Huh? Wow. Yes. Any other last one, and then we'll end the class. Yes.
Take complete shelter of the spiritual master's instructions.
Take complete surrender to the spiritual master's instructions. and not listen to one's mind. That's the other part of that. Yes.
Don't water the weeds.
That would make a great T-shirt, wouldn't it? Don't water the weeds. What do you mean by that?
When the weeds are there, you have your plant, and you have the water, our creeper of devotion, bhakti, the devotional service. But when these weeds come up, and they also are asking for water, and the water is our attention. And our
attention, yes.
Giving them our attention. And,
yes.
And surrendering to their soul.
Where does the strength to do that come from, to not pay attention? Where does the strength come from?
That must come from Krishna.
Yeah, and sometimes it comes from the fact that you touch the fire and then whack, you get burnt so bad and you think, maybe that pain is because I touched the fire. And then you do it again. And then you do it again. And then finally you say, enough. I've had enough. I've had enough. Sometimes we have to learn the hard way. But we should never give up in our desire to serve the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the lotus feet of Sisi, Radha, and Krishna. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gonatai ki jai. Sisi Radha Balava ki jai. Sisi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hare.